Want to greet you all, and excuse me. Want to greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here with you again. I have a message this morning to this side of the house, and I would like, if you, brethren, could relieve their load of children, I think it would be nice. Maybe I should have said something earlier, just so that the ladies can follow along and give you a few minutes to do that. Maybe there's no children you want to give up. Thank you for doing that. The title that I chose for the message is The Woman God Gave. And you'll recognize that as from Genesis 3, where Adam said, "The woman that thou gavest to be with me." I don't think Adam was saying that in a real positive way, but we husbands, at least, maybe a little bit broader than that, but we husbands at least recognize the blessing of a godly woman, godly partner by our side that is definitely a gift from God. I feel like I struggled very much with the message, and I don't think it's because of the topic. It was just my own human weakness and struggling with a lot of different things, but I did have to think about a book, and I don't know how many of you saw it, but I think it's all right to say the author. It says on the front of the book, you know, Jake Bear is this author, and goes down through, and it, on the cover, it lists all his credentials and so on, and on the back, and the title of the book is Understanding Women. And then you open the book, and there's chapter one, and there's a whole bunch of blank pages. And then you go to chapter two, and there's a bunch more blank pages, so on through the book. That's a little bit the way I feel this morning, although the Bible does have a lot to say, and I want to look at the Word of God. If you would, turn with me to Proverbs. I have two verses from Proverbs to begin with. Proverbs 12, I didn't say that, but Proverbs 12, first of all, and verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The second one is Proverbs 14, verse 1. I'm not going to comment on these scriptures right at the moment. I'm going to read them and then maybe make a few comments later. Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Then I'd like you to go to Ruth chapter 4, verse 11. Just thinking a little bit about this house. Ruth chapter 4, verse 11, and this is the blessing that the men gave, the elders that were in the gate gave to Boaz. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is coming to thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem." And I'd like to go to Genesis 26 and verse 40. Genesis 26. I'm sorry. Genesis 24, verse 60. Genesis 24, verse 60. This is Isaac and Rebekah. This is the blessing that they gave to Rebekah as she was leaving. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." First Corinthians 11 and verse 3. Please don't tire too quickly of turning to scriptures. I have a lot more to go here. First Corinthians 11, verse 3, there's probably a lot more that maybe we could and should read here, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And then turn over to chapter 14 and verse 34. "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church." Okay, Ephesians 5. And we want to read several verses there. I think we already did when we talked about, when we talked to the husbands in this home series. But Ephesians 5 and verse 22 to the end of the chapter, I believe it is. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, beginning at verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness. Notice the parentheses there. With good works, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived is in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Sorry, here I lost my place. Okay, 1 Peter 3. And verse 1 to, I'm trying to see here which it is, verse 6, I believe. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement or with any phobia. It would be that word amazement there. Now I'd like to go maybe back a little bit and think about some of these scriptures. Maybe first of all, we could turn to Proverbs a while. Again, there's one more verse in Proverbs 31 that I think is important. All the Word of God is important, but it's applicable to the subject we're on. We think about all the commands in the New Testament, particularly, that say the women are to keep silence. That's very obvious. There's not really any other way around it as you look at the scripture. And we're fine with that. I think all of our sisters are content to be quiet and to not say a lot in church. I don't think we have a problem with that. But there are people that do have a problem with that. Maybe it feels a little bit negative. Don't do this. Don't speak. Don't say. You're supposed to submit. It all kind of feels a little bit negative. Maybe it doesn't to you, but it kind of does to me preaching it. But I'd like you to think about the unique role that you fill. And this house and all that's involved in that. Proverbs 31 and verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. As you think about what God's word fences off, there's a whole segment that's fenced off that's not for you. But here's a field. And can I say it's a big field? It's a big responsibility. It's a big house that you are to build. You can either build or tear down. And it's all involved in this role of being subject to your husband. And I'm not sure I can explain it all. I can't. As I thought about it, it just seemed like I couldn't really wrap my mind around it and think about the practical a lot. I was having a hard time with that. But there's this house. And it's a lineage, it's a heritage that you have control of. It says in Genesis, I didn't write that verse down, but I think it's about verse 16 of chapter 3 there. In God's curse to the woman, your desire shall be to your husband, and he will rule over you. And maybe, again, maybe we look at that as negative. But what I'm trying to say is there's a wide open field that is there. There's a house to be built. And maybe in a way this is a Mother's Day sermon. I'm sorry, Tim, if I took away your subject for next Sunday. But I thought about the kings of Israel. And 28 times it mentions the king, and then his mother's name was, or something like that, whose mother was. It's 28 times in the Kings. And as you think about, it doesn't always say directly, but it gives the implication that the mother had a tremendous effect on how that king performed. I think it was Ahaziah, and that's a negative example, but it says that he did wickedly as Ahab did, and he had Ahab's daughter. No, I'm sorry. It says, for Athaliah, Ahab's daughter, was his mother. So there's a tremendous amount of influence that a mother has and a wife has, and your security is tied up in this relationship with your husband. And again, I can't explain all that. I don't understand it all. But that's the way God set it up. And back to this verse here in Proverbs where it says that every wise woman buildeth her house, or the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. You have that opportunity and responsibility to build the house. And a large part of it is being underneath. It's not manipulating. It's not controlling. That's not the place that God has called the woman to. Maybe we should turn to Genesis. I believe it's chapter 12. This story of Sarah and Abraham, in Peter there, it talks about Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I'm sorry, I didn't write this reference down either. I had a lot of them written down. And Genesis 12, verse 11, it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, they said unto Sarai, she was still named Sarai at this point, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Now, how would you like if your husband did that? Now, I don't think we would feel very good about that, or you would feel very good about that. I think I know you'd have an awfully hard time respecting. And the point that I want to make here is you do not have to have an ideal husband or a perfect situation to show respect and honor. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I know that as couples go through life and, you know, experience teaches you, and there's respect that's gained or acquired as you go through life. Maybe that's what happened with Sarah. It was quite a bit later when the Bible says that she called Abraham Lord. But it's something to think about. It's not only when the situation is ideal that God calls us to respect and submit. Back to this verse here in Proverbs again, Proverbs 31. Verse 16, I was just impressed with the last part of it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. And again, there's a wide open field of opportunity that you have to plant into the next generation concepts and morality. I remember my mother. Brother Joe was talking about memories the other night, and I kind of went down that trail a little bit, but there's some particular things I remember about my mother. I was probably about five, and I do not know what I did, but I do remember, I have very few memories of my mom giving me a spanking, but I do have that one. She loved antique furniture, and she had this, I think she called it an ottoman. It was an old piece of furniture. She reupholstered it, and it had brass tacks all the way around it, and it was sort of rectangle, sort of rounded on the corners. I can still see the design of that thing pretty definitely. I don't know what happened to it, but she also had in her bedroom there a clothes hamper. It was a kind of a woven basket. Again, it was an old thing. But what was interesting about that is when you open the lid, you could pull out the corners of what the thing was made out of. It was wove around the corners, and there were these plastic things about this wide. And anyway, one day she laid me on that ottoman and used that plastic corner on me. I never forgot that. And like I said, I don't remember what it was for, but there's a lot of other things I remember about my mom, and she didn't have an easy life, but she instilled a lot of things in me that I still remember. Well, again, there's a lot of area that I think, in a way, it can feel like it's fenced off to our sisters. God says no. But I'd like to encourage you, there's a wide open field. You know what that is. And in some ways, it's instinctive to plant in it. But I'd just like to encourage you to, not that I think you are, but don't stand by the fence wishing you could be doing this or that, where God says no, but there's a big field. Shall we kneel in prayer? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Lord, again, it's a lamp to our feet. We just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand and to apply your word to our lives, to where we live. Pray, Lord, for the weaker vessels that you have given to us, have blessed us with. Lord, we just pray that you would bless them abundantly for their sacrifice and their work in your vineyard. And Lord, as we think about the generation coming on, we just pray that you would give a vision for that as well in our young sisters, a desire to work in that part of the vineyard. Be with us all. Help us to build in the kingdom where you have called us to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.